This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
Here we go. Hour two, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Just one more hour of today's show. Then you're going to get Broadus and Chia. Follow the Cowboys pregame show is coming up at 4 o'clock. All right. Texans in town, going to take on Houston, renew that rivalry. Here's Zach Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day, buddy.
Yeah, well, speaking of Houston, Jeffrey Okuda, South Grand Prairie, SGP, he is activated. He will be playing tonight for the Houston Texans, former top five overall pick, who is now on his third NFL team, has really struggled with injuries throughout his career. Had a nice year last season with Atlanta staying healthy, but now he's going to get playing time tonight. We've talked about that secondary of Houston. I guess it's the offensive line. You can take advantage there. Hopefully the Cowboys pass rush with Micah, Overshown, Lawson, Osa. Maybe you can win something up there, but that Houston secondary being a little bit banged up, maybe if your offensive line can protect, because there's no Will Anderson Jr., could Cooper Rush end up making some plays down the field? We'll see. That's got to be your hope if you're looking for Cowboys optimism right now. Daniel Jones has been benched in New York. They're turning to third-string quarterback Tommy Cutlass, baby. Tommy DeVito, he's back. They're not going with Drew Lock because, as Brian noted earlier, there's financial reasons there. And looking at this, it seems like Daniel Jones probably played his last snap as a New York Giant. If they post June 1, designate him. I've seen the numbers would be an $11 million cap hit, but you get like $30 million in saving. Tom Pelissero has a really good breakdown out there right now. So it seems like you post June 1 him, they might be in position to draft a quarterback. They move on from the Danny Dimes experiment. Now, Matt Ryan on CBS Sports, as they were jumping into tables like Bill's Mafia yesterday during the CBS pregame show, which was fantastic, he is comparing Daniel Jones like, it might be good. Go ahead, go somewhere, be a backup. He's not going to get a starting job anywhere, but maybe he ends up being the next in line that could resurrect his career, like Baker, like Sam Darnold, like a Geno Smith, some of these guys that struggled early, then they find the right place later on in their. I don't know that I see that with Daniel Jones. Maybe you guys are higher on him than I am.
No, I mean, he certainly hasn't had a bunch of talent to work with over the years, but he's had some good coaching. You know, it's not like he's been with a Nathaniel Hackett kind of disaster coach that is just consistently setting him up for failure. It's not Jared Goff with Jeff Fisher, and then all of a sudden you bring in McSex, and now it's a different quarterback. I think with Daniel Jones as well, he's played a ton of games. Like, we'll never see another quarterback this bad get this many opportunities. So he's back up for life now.
Yeah, like Jason Garrett helped him along. I mean, that was that whole Joe Judge administration.
No, that's fair. But with these last few years with Daboll and Kafka,
I feel, yeah.
Well, I mean, I liked a lot. I thought that they had kind of figured it out with that staff.
I'm surprised that Matt Kafka has been as bad as he's been. I mean, Andy Reid absolutely loved Mike Kafka, and he was fearful of losing him. Remember, you know, he was hopeful that Eric Bieniemy, and he, you know, Andy thinks the world of Eric Bieniemy, and he was worried. He's like, maybe, you know, Eric can get a job and then I can elevate Mike Kafka. I wouldn't be surprised if something were to happen that he ends up back in Kansas City. But, man, that was one of those young coordinators I thought that was going to do well. Really hasn't done very well at all.
No. Well, yesterday, I mean, we had a couple of great finishes. One of them, of course, Kansas City and Buffalo. I mean, anytime they get together, it's a fun game. And this time, regular season Buffalo comes up with the victory again. Josh Allen with, I know what Jim Nantz says, is the play of the year. Maybe it will be. He takes off 24-yard run. It was absolutely unbelievable. I know some of the next-gen stats numbers on it were incredible. But he, I mean, just bulldozing over a defender to get into the end zone, just putting the team on my back. It had a 1.2 chance of scoring a touchdown once he tucked the ball to run it. But Josh Allen doing the alien-like things that he can do with the 26-yard run. But now Amari Cooper, post-game, was talking about the fun that he's having in Buffalo. I mean, that's an organization. They made the move at the trade deadline. They bring in Amari. They needed a number one. Keon Coleman's been down. Dalton Kincaid didn't play yesterday. It didn't matter. They find a way to ruin the perfect season for the Chiefs. Here was Amari post-game talking about how much fun he's having.
It's the first time in a like long time that I've actually felt joy, you know, from winning this game, from, you know, just the way we played, from having so many guys on the team who, you know, our playmakers, and they come up and they show up when their number is called, you know, collectively as a group. It's just amazing. You know, a lot of the guys here, it's just kind of a different place to Buffalo compared to some of the other places I've been to. So a lot of the guys, it's a tight-knit group, I would say. A lot of the guys go out together. They hang around each other 24/7, and it truly shows up on the field. It truly does.
Man, I'm happy for Amari, but I'm not surprised to hear him say that he hasn't had a lot of joy, you know, during his career. And I just wonder if that's, you know, not a good thing. You know, I'd be looking for players that had fun, you know, and listening to Amari talk over the years and answer questions. I've always kind of wondered, like, man, how much does this guy really like playing football? Mm-hmm. I think he's as talented as anybody.
Yeah, I mean, when you play for the Raiders, you play for the Browns, and of course he had his stint here with the Cowboys that was, you know, decently fruitful, you know, won some games, but you're finally in a place really for the first time in your career that you're like, oh, wow, this is like a legit contender. This is a quarterback who is a, you know, top two or three quarterback at worst in the league, and it's really just all about football and all about winning. And so I'm sure this is like – this is a totally different perspective now that, again, like Raiders, Browns, that's usually where careers go to die.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I did think of his time here in Dallas, and it did make me wonder a little bit, because we've heard about now Cole Beasley went to Buffalo, said kind of similar things, and I don't think it has anything to do with the facilities. In no way ever do I imagine Buffalo is anywhere close to what the Cowboys are working with there at the Star, but maybe there is something to be said about the culture and the locker room and, you know, playing for one another.
Winning.
The camaraderie. Right, but Amari won here. Amari had a lot of success here, and he had a really good rapport with Dak. So, you know, that's one where he did win, and we were thinking they had some of their best chances to go on runs. Unfortunately, they fell and lost to San Francisco. But, I mean, he did have success here. Winning can't be the only thing between here and Buffalo, unless he's not talking about here.
Well, and
yeah, he might have just been all shots fired at Cleveland. But I do want to say, I don't think, like, Tyreek Hill is going anywhere and not having fun. You know, I just think
right.
It is kind of what you make of it, you know?
It could be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a little bit melancholy, kind of quiet to himself. Like, there's some of that is probably just an Amari Cooper thing, for sure, and somebody really has to bring it out of him. But you also can't put a price tag on driving into the stadium and seeing people
yeah.
on fire, jumping
in
the tables.
That is different.
Jumping off Winnebagos and stuff. Like, there, you really can't put a price on that.
CBS crew was, I saw them busting tables yesterday.
Yeah, man.
Big Nate Burleson, right?
Yeah, Nate got some high. Bill Cowher.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was beautiful to watch. Okay, last night, the Chargers had, I'd say, a signature Harbaugh win. That was an organization that had been used to blowing a lot of leads. They did it again. Cincinnati comes roaring back. A 21-point comeback. He had another missed field goal from Evan McPherson. It's been rough for some of these kickers out there. I mean, I was telling Eric, I saw the stat. McPherson, Jake Elliott, Justin Tucker, who had a terrible day yesterday, too, for Baltimore, and was blaming the field conditions. Dude, you can't blame the field conditions when Chris Boswell just went 6-for-6 and won the game, and that team didn't score a single touchdown. He's a kicker, too. You can't say it was a bad field, and that's why you stunk yesterday, Justin Tucker. But he's having a historically poor year.
He's in denial.
McPherson is. Jake Elliott with the Eagles are. Like, these kickers that you look at throughout their career, they've got an 89%, 85%, 83% success rate. They're in the low 70s right now. It's a down year for some of these kickers. McPherson did not help yesterday with Cincinnati. But Ja'Marr Chase, post-game, was showing some frustration as this is happening. I mean, poor Joe Burrow is on the wrong end of all these statistics right now, where he's throwing for 300-plus yards, three touchdowns, and he hasn't won a game. He's the first quarterback in NFL history now to have done that back-to-back weeks, and his teams are now 0-3 when they've got 250 yards and three touchdowns, no interceptions from their quarterback. Rest of the league is 14-2 this year. It's been terrible luck. They can't close games. Ja'Marr Chase, what is the problem?
Honestly, I don't know, man. I have no clue. I still believe in the guys in this locker room, though. We just got to find ways to finish.
You've seen Evan make finish. Like, I've heard everybody obviously knows you need to do it. What do you do?
How do I do it? I don't know. Ask Zach. Ask the coaches. Don't ask me. That's not my job.
To finish?
I play football on the field. I don't call plays, of course. You know? So I can't really do nothing.
You think that's part of the finishing factor is plays stuff?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's you have a bottom five defense. You're gonna continue putting up all kinds of offensive numbers. If you can't stop anybody, don't expect to be much over 500. I'm surprised they got close a couple of weeks ago, though. You know, I think there's a lot of good players on that team. I just wonder if that whole thing has already peaked and we're getting set for another decade, a half of incompetence. You know what I'm talking about, Brian?
Yeah, that you know, that's what it's funny. Jeff Cavan and I were talking about it this morning on about the Cincinnati Bengals and their scouting staff being one of the smallest in the National Football League. Coach-driven personnel department. They're kind of a top-heavy team, though. Yeah, you know, if you're a Bengals fan, you don't want to circle back to those times where they, you know, were only winning 3-4 games a year. You know, you kind of felt like with Joe Burrow and Chase and others, you know, Hendrickson and those guys, that they were kind of getting this thing turned around. They gave Kansas City fits. You know, and, you know, that kind of seemed like the one team that was able to kind of take the Chiefs out. But, man, it's looking bad right now on defense, and that hadn't been the way the last couple of years.
Just threw the head coach under the bus. I think Zach Taylor gets fired. Now, I think that you could be in line if you have the ownership there in Cincy, which we know is very, very cheap. Very, very cheap. That's the knock on them.
Yeah.
Give me Bill Belichick and Joe Burrow together. That is a pairing
that
could do some special, special things.
I like that quite a bit. I mean, that's a Joe Burrow's. You know what he brings to the table. He's not the issue for them. He's kind of a thoroughbred winner, is really what he's been. So I think for Belichick, as you look at the openings, having an established, ready-made quarterback like that, that could be enticing. I was wondering if they would try and go get his old college coordinator Joe Brady.
Maybe.
Out of Buffalo.
That could happen.
And he would probably come a lot cheaper than old Bill will.
I know Diane Rossini was talking about, like, Trent Baalke. He's going to be out in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson's going to be out.
Yeah.
And so Bill as a definitely a high candidate there. But if I'm Bill Belichick, Joe Burrow is that quarterback to me that can be like a Tom Brady. And I'm signing up for that over Trevor Lawrence, who had a half a good season in the league, and I don't really know what he is.
I just don't feel like Cincinnati, that family-run organization, I just don't feel like that they're interested in changing coaches. If you look at the history of their coaches, they've kept bad coaches for a long time. You know, it's something that I don't think they're interested in moving on from guys like that. I think they're going to still – they don't care about the outside noise, the Brown family. You can talk bad about them all they want. They just keep cashing the checks. But so I don't see them making a coaching change there. But
I don't
like
either.
What you're talking about with the pair of the quarterback and another head coach.
If they did decide to change coaches, I would not mind a Belichick Zach Taylor Cowboys combination 5-6-7-8.
Okay, that'd be interesting. I'd be in on that. Now, we had Steelers and Ravens yesterday. Lamar said that this bleep is annoying. I mean, that was insane. I mentioned they didn't score an offensive touchdown, the Steelers. They find a win to win the game. Lamar just points to they kill themselves. You think back to the AFC Championship game, the Chiefs game, the opener. Yeah, turnovers, penalties. Mm. Like, they're beating themselves in this game. They're clearly a better team than Pittsburgh. But now he's 1-4. And all of a sudden you look up and the Steelers are 8-2. I mean, they did nothing offensively yesterday. I still can't really view them as a legitimate contender to win the Super Bowl. But gosh, I mean, they are. It's crazy to think that they lost to the Cowboys. Cowboys haven't won since then. Steelers haven't lost since then.
Yeah, the difference. It's funny because you say the difference that Russell Wilson makes, yeah. And he's made a big difference for them over the course of the last few weeks. But then yesterday he had a QBR of like 15. the idea that you can win. He, like, the QBR tells you, like, the percentage chance your quarterback gave you to win the game. He gave his team a 15% chance to win the game yesterday, and they lost. Justin Tucker's a big reason why. To me, that's the big thing right there. Like, for the Ravens, I know that Justin Tucker, he's legend, all these things, but you're going to have to figure something out before the postseason, dude. You can't go into the postseason.
There's a lot of teams. Like, there's a lot of teams that are in this playoff picture right now that their kicker is going to cost them an opportunity to go to New Orleans in the Super Bowl.
No doubt.
They're going to lose games in the playoffs because of their kicking situation. And that's where the value of the kicker you have here is so great. And there was a time where Tucker was one of the best at doing this. But now he could be one of those guys that cost them an opportunity to be able to get back to the Super Bowl.
I think this is kind of like a Brandon Aubrey effect where he is banging them so far and a number of guys are hitting him longer than ever. I think the old guys are like, crap, I got to get stronger and kick with them. I think the young guys are thinking, well, this is what it takes to be great, and they're all well out of their comfort zone trying stuff, where there's just a couple of outliers here who are just freaking legatroning their balls off is what they're doing.
Mm. Yeah, amen to that. Well said.
Well, the last news of note here, it seems like that blocked field goal that the Packers got yesterday, Kenny Clark was saying, like, hey, we knew we were going to block that thing. But after a terrible clock management from Matt Eberflus, who just decided, I'm not going to try and get more yards here to help my kicker out and take a timeout. I'm just going to go ahead and run a play with 30-something seconds left, let it go down, and then, boom, we'll just try and kick it 46-yard game winner. I guess it was illegal what the Packers ended up doing. Long snapper for the Bears, Patrick Scales, gets blown up at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Carl Brooks and TJ Slayton, and then they end up making contact with him, which you're not allowed to do. So it seems like they kind of end up mugging up the long snapper a little bit here. They get pressure right up the middle. They go ahead and block this field goal to win the game. They end up winning. It should have been a re-kick 15 yards closer for the Bears, but that's just the way it's going, you know, for the poor Chicago Bear fans out there, man.
Sad. Sad news, Bears.
Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
NFL news today, most afternoons at 3 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. How close are you to that cheerleader recital or whatever? Audition?
Yeah, well, this? Tonight we're up in the booth, the Brad Chen booth here, and we're caddy corner to the field, and I don't know, probably a good 100 yards away, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
But it's the throwback cheerleader.
It's alumni night.
Yeah, alumni night. So you got a bunch of old ladies out here that used to be Cowboy cheerleaders, and they're gonna get in the mix there, I guess, for a halftime performance of some sort. So you have some young ones and some really old ones. I couldn't believe that lady out here with a wheelchair, but she had the pom pom.
Was that Dolly Parton?
Yeah, might have been.
Somebody on the fan text said it sounds like a Pilates class going on behind you guys.
Yeah, it's on a one. It's two. It's one, two, three, it's four, five, and breathe, six, and seven, eight. Uh-huh.
Very jazzercise. Yeah. Very jazzercise like here.
They just took one of these ladies into the blue tent, man. I think she popped a hammy or something.
Oh, Brian brought a spare Depends.
We'll that's clutch, man. Nice work, Brian. What's breaking with tonight's kickoff? 4 hours away. It's time for the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the evening's coming up next on the Fan. Yeah, baby, it's time now for some C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. You're less than 20 minutes away from Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus. And then the pregame show's coming up here at 4 o'clock. So just another 30-plus minutes, and you'll be locked in here with the Cowboys Radio Network here coming up at 4 o'clock. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. And this is the Game Day Tailgate brought to you by Low T Center, reinventing men's health care. Gentlemen, live at the stadium, Gavin Dawson here at the studio. How we doing? We good?
We're cheering it up right now.
Right on.
Man, we
got the whole routine going.
The alumni are just like they're getting after it right now. So big time halftime show.
More
scheduled today.
I wonder if ESPN NFL Live is getting hit with a bunch of background noise, because they're literally right on the sideline. Their set is right now. Ruddy and Mina and Orlovsky and company, and they're right behind where the cheerleaders are doing this. So I wonder if ESPN's getting hammered with a bunch of background noise.
Do those gals look more or less spry than one Mike Tyson on Friday night?
Way more.
Way more spry.
Yeah.
There's no way Mike could have done a high kick like that.
No, no. Although he could look good in short bursts. I still wouldn't want to mess with him, but no doubt that's the last we've seen of him in a competitive environment. Jonathan Mingo headlines Cowboys to watch the rest of the season at 877-881-1053. The Franklin Injury Attorney text line is open if you want to jump in here. What are you looking forward to over the final seven games of the Cowboys season? And Brian, let's start with you just talking about expectations for Mingo tonight.
Yeah, I think that to me, you know, you parted with a fourth round pick for the opportunity to have Mingo on your team. I'm going to look and see how that plays out the rest of the way. Is it one of those things like, okay, this was worth it? Because what's going to happen is I'm going to say, yeah, it was worth it, because when Dallas gets to that draft and they're getting the fourth round, is there a wide receiver on that board that played better or could be better than Mingo? That's where I'm looking at this right now. It's going to be kind of tough because of the quarterback situation, but I'm looking to see how much is he worth giving up that pick, and who is going to be on that board in the fourth round. That's the comparison I'm making the rest of the way.
Where's your optimism here, Wolchuk? 1 to 10. You getting fired up here for the chance that Mingo has something?
I mean, I'm probably about a 5. I'm right there, like 50-50, because I don't know. I mean, he could have just been in an absolutely terrible situation there in Carolina. I did like some of what we saw of him coming out of college. He certainly is a bigger-bodied, thick-as-a-bowl-of-oatmeal kind of receiver that they don't really have right now. And the blocking, I think, could be a step up. And I know that kind of sucks. Like, we're talking about, okay, your wide receiver, something I'm excited about is his blocking. But this team can't do that. Like, there's a reason why they're having issues with getting the ball on the edge in the running game and some of the screens and wide receiver screens that they want to use outside. Like, Tolbert's struggling to block out there. Flannoy, maybe he's a guy you get more playing time. Mingo's a guy that can do that to me. So we'll see. The slants, I mean, he fits in with kind of the offense that we've been seeing them run here lately. So if he can just give me something to be optimistic about going into training camp where it's like, yeah, I think this dude could maybe be your number three or fight to be your number two receiver next year, I'd be happy.
Chief, yeah, it's tough 'cause he's going from a bad offense to another bad offense. So it's hard to see, like, yeah, okay, is this going to be something? If this was last year's team and Dax, you know, the quarterback, and they're kind of rocking and rolling, then you could be like, okay, there could be some optimism that something good can happen here. But he goes from one bad situation quarterback-wise and offensively to another one. So I do wonder how much they try and force-feed it to him tonight, because this is their new toy. It's Monday Night Football, and that could be a nice little talking point for them. I did see Ryan Flannoy Instagrammed that he's getting his first start tonight. Okay. So maybe they're trying to get all the blocking receivers out there as they look to hand the ball off 70,000 times to Rico.
Perfect.
Do you think that he just meant that he was going to have his first active game? Maybe. Or is he actually going to start?
He's been active.
Yeah, he has been active.
He's played a few games. So maybe it is.
Start.
Maybe he's ball sacking us. Who knows?
Tim and CD out
there. Has he got that kind of potential, Brian, where you'd throw him up the depth chart like that?
I don't know if I'd throw him up that high right now, though. His, you know, a lot of these guys are really struggling with their ability to separate. You know, he's a guy that when he's been given some opportunity has flashed. I think that's, you know, the thing I was hopeful for, that he would develop, because that's a big guy. I was hoping that, you know, and Zach's absolutely right. They do not win enough on the outside. They just do not, when it comes to the crack toss stuff that they run, when they run the screens. You know, I mean, he's got to be able to, like, run routes, separate. Yeah, he's a rookie and all those things. But, you know, he needs to do a lot more other than that. And I would be real surprised, though, he hasn't shown me personally enough to think that I could put him in the starting lineup tonight. And that would be something that you would get something good out of.
Okay, so but Flournoy, Mingo, couple of young offensive players for this Cowboys team. Maybe there's something else that you guys are getting excited about here as we start to, you know, turn for the home stretch of this season. But to me, it's just the chance of a top five pick, and the fact that, you know, the Giants and Cowboys on Thanksgiving are getting together in a game that could decide the 5 seed for the draft order. Then the Giants host the Saints. Then the Giants host the Colts on December 29th before ending in Philadelphia, which could be a meaningless Week 18 game for the Turds. They might be resting. So I see the chance for the Giants to win 3 more games, and if they beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, maybe you jump into that top 5, top 3 type of conversation. But you got to get all these games. You know, these are the important ones right here. You can't have any mistakes here. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I tell you what, Dawson, I like what you're doing here, man, but there are a lot of bad teams ahead of you. I mean, you think about teams. There's, you know, you look at the way the order is right now, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Cleveland, Vegas. You mentioned the Giants, New England, the Jets, Carolina, and Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, sitting right there. I mean, you could play bad, but the teams ahead of you are capable of playing just as bad. And I like what you're talking about with the Giants, you know, trying to do something there.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, everybody else that's ahead of you are playing really, really bad football.
A lot of them are going to play each other. A lot of them are going to have the game. You just need the luck to be on your side and make sure you don't have any of these turnovers or special team games, you know, that can totally flip a game on its head. Other than that, I think overshown watching the final seven games as he starts to get close to 15, 16 total games played. Like, what kind of an added gear could he add to his game here? Nealon coming back. You know, I feel like I'm kind of reaching here, though. There's not much else, you know, out there in the form of potentially exciting storylines. The Cowboys did officially place Dak Prescott on injured reserve today. Defensive back Josh Butler has been signed from the practice squad. They also elevated Princeton Fant and defensive back Kemen Hall. From the practice squad. So congrats to those guys and best of luck to them. Must be exciting for them. Jordan Lewis officially out now. CeeDee Lamb still questionable. Have we gotten any update on CeeDee?
Yeah, they expect Lamb to play tonight. That's I got that word before we came on air that they fully expect him to play. You know, how well he'll play, we'll see. But they're confident that he'll give it a go tonight.
And then we have Deron Bland out. Kalen Carson, what's his status? Out?
I think he's okay as well. Like I say, he's dealing with a little bit of a shoulder situation. It's kind of flared back up on him. So tonight I wouldn't be surprised to see Israel Mukwamu start on the outside, and then if they go to nickel, then it'll be Izzy go inside and then Carson to play on the outside.
What kind of a game plan do you expect from the Cowboys tonight, Brian? A heavy dose of Joe Mixon and big plays over the top to Nico. What do you think is going to play out here if Houston has their way?
Yeah, well, Houston's going to try and run the football. They're much better actually running the ball to their left behind Laremy Tunsil. So the right side of the Dallas Cowboys defense needs to be ready for that ball to be bouncing to the outside. Nico Collins, as Eric and everybody's talked about, he's got a lot of size to him. He's a good slant runner. They're going to try and attack you with Tank Dell. I think they're going to want to run the football first is what they're going to try and do, see if they can do some things off the play-action game. This quarterback, believe it or not, though, against pressure is really, really, really good. It's when he faces teams that don't pressure him and don't blitz him, that's where he's had a lot of his turnovers. So let's see how I think that Mike Zimmer will have a similar type of game plan with how bad the Texans are inside and some of the struggles they've had. I wouldn't be surprised if Mike tries to attack that A gap, see if he could get some guys home on top of Stroud before he gets the ball off.
And is that A gap between the guard and center?
It's guard and center.
There's two of them?
Each side. So they'll walk guys up, and they'll make these. The Texans have to be aware. They had to watch the tape last week and saw what Zimmer did. He would bring one, drop two. We might see him rush two, drop one. You know, they got to find a way. But when they get home, he called a blitz the other day that got overshown home. They missed the tackle, would have been a sack, and then it ended up being a touchdown right before half. Can't allow that with this quarterback, though. This guy will hold the football, and then he'll try and throw it. He's been pretty successful operating that way.
Krusty's Corner coming up next, my guy. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, I'm going to give you the referee report, and I've got some questions for my guys. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. We are in the middle of the game day tailgate brought to you by Low T Center, reinventing men's health care. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's himself, Broadus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. And thank you very much to the sponsors on board for this one as well. Usually on Fridays, I give you the Zebra report. So I thought I'd wait till Monday before the game to kind of walk you guys through that. And then, like I said, I have some questions that I hope you guys can answer before we get this game going. Craig Wohlerstadt is the official for this football game, the fifth most calls in the league by an official. This is the crew right here. So you've gone last week from, you know, the Alex Kemp his crew, they were top three. Now you still stay in the top five. So we'll see how this plays out for the Cowboys. It always seems like that when there's a loss, Zach, at home in the post game, what do we talk about? Mike McCarthy stands at the podium and says, well, those, you know, the calls. You got to do something about the penalties. Got to do something about the, you know, this, that, and the other. So this is what you have to worry about today with Craig Wohlerstadt and his crew. Offensive holding is something that they are their top penalty that they call. They've got 23 of those calls, 14 of them against the home team and 9 of them against the away team. Delay of game. This is an interesting one here because now they've got 11 of those calls they made. So here we are. Usually when you worry about delay of game penalties, it's on the road. The Cowboys have had some problems where getting personnel guys onto the field, the right personnel, and you know, whether that's offense or defense, whatever that situation, but especially on the offensive side, this crew's called 11 of those delay of game penalties, and that's the most I've seen from any officiating crew this year. So they're clock watching you right now on that. 5 against the home, 6 against the aways.
As long as they're not clock blocking me, I'll be all right, bro.
As long as they're doing that, you'll be just fine.
So let me see the clock, and then I'll snap the ball in
time.
There
you go. You got the right idea. So defensive offsides is their next, so that you got to worry about the lining up in the neutral zone. These guys aren't not going to let you get away with that. Defensive pass interference, that's 9 of those calls, 5 against the home, and 4 against the away. They seem to be really looking at that as something that, because you usually see it a kind of a combination of the defensive pass interference, and then just down the road might be, or just a little bit down would be offensive pass interference or something like that, but that's not to be found. These guys are strictly like calling it on the defensive side of the ball. An eligible man downfield, we'll see how many times Dallas runs the screens and things like that. They don't seem to get the ball down the field, that things go behind the line of scrimmage. So this is a crew that have called 4 of those this season. And then also now we have the defensive holding kind of rounds out the top 5 for them. So it's a crew that's going to call penalties. You do have to be, like I say, aware of offensive holding and then also the delay of game penalties. Those are something that this crew will get after it on you. Okay, when we're talking about, I have some questions for you guys pertaining to this football game, and mainly because of, you know, we talked about earlier where, you know, your thoughts were about some of these players and where, you know, they're going to go from here. Are you guys interested at all at seeing Awesome Richards play left tackle? And I'll start with you, Chief. Are you interested in Awesome Richards playing left tackle over Tyler Guyton, or you just want to see this going forward with Tyler Guyton continually to get to play there?
Yeah, if I'm doing the team building here, I'm very likely planning on June 1 cutting Terrence Steele. So with my personal big picture plan and seeing how well Awesome Richards stepped in, at least from a pass protection standpoint last week, I would be open to the idea of moving Tyler Guyton back to his more natural position of right tackle, because now you can see what you have in another youngster in Awesome Richards for the remainder of the season. Do you have your tackles of the future here right now? I'd be experimenting with this. I really would.
How about you, Wooly? Are you interested in seeing Awesome Richards play more, or you just want to go Tyler Guyton and get him that experience?
I'm very open to that idea of, you know, if you eventually do move on from Steele and then Guyton can play on the right side. Yeah, I'm down to let them battle. Go ahead. If they think Awesome Richards is better right now than Tyler Guyton, play Awesome Richards. Well, let's have Tyler Guyton earn that spot a little bit, because I don't think they're going to bench Steele. And if they did, that'd be awesome. I'd love to see both of them out there. But if Awesome Richards they think could be a better player, let's see what he can do.
We need to be developing great linemen, or at least good linemen. Brian, my question for you would be, is this close because Richards has improved significantly?
I think so. The reason I think he's now in the conversation is because of how well he played. And I think there's some folks in a season that's kind of going south.
Yeah.
Would you be interested in like saying, okay, could this guy be the left tackle? And as you guys have all talked about, could this mean moving Tyler Guyton back over to the other side where he's naturally where he was a right tackle? So I think that Awesome Richards has made it more, put himself in that conversation. If he hadn't played well, I think that people would say, no more Austin Richards. Just go ahead and play Tyler Guyton, and away you go.
I don't mean to hedge too hard, but I think I'd play both of them a significant amount. And
I think I kind of in that same boat, too. Absolutely. I'm in the same boat. Willie, what do you expect with Rico Dowdle now being the primary running back in this offense?
I think Rico Dowdle could finally go ahead and snap this Cowboys streak of not having a 100-yard rusher. You know, I think that that's something that he's very capable of doing if you give him the ball 20 to 25 times. And as a receiver, I think he's proven to be pretty good. So their best rushing game was against Pittsburgh. He had 20 carries, and they ended up being able to find a way to win that game. And in hindsight now, it's like, how the hell did you beat that Pittsburgh Steelers team? So I think Rico's capable. I think you've seen times where this offensive line hasn't been as bad as people make it out to be. They've blocked pretty well. Rico could go out there and surprise some people and put up some pretty good stats.
Yeah, I think Rico could give you a better chance to win. I don't know how many fans want to hear that right now, but beyond that, I like him enough that I would consider going into next spring, like maybe we don't need to use a back in the first 2 days of the draft. That's what I think he could do right here.
Yeah, I do think he's going to help you stay ahead of the chains a little bit more. As Walchuk mentioned, as a pass catcher out of the backfield, he can give you something, and I think you'll probably see a healthy helping of that based on the fact that they're desperately trying to get rid of the ball as quickly as possible, and he's a guy that can do some of that stuff. So maybe a little bit more explosiveness in the run game, but overall, I don't expect it to change. Like, you're not scoring a bunch more points tonight because Rico's getting the ball more.
I kind of feel like the same way. I'd like to see him, you know, just give him the football. And be, you know, Mike McCarthy always talks about, you know, hey, we need to get more opportunities. More, sir, you have the play sheet in hand. You know, you have the play sheet. You know, if you find a way. Now, listen, I'm not interested in playing tonight and being in third and eights all night, because that's going to be a recipe for disaster for this football team, because the Texans want to get you in third down defense. That's what they want to do. They want to blitz you on third down, and they want to cause problems that way. So, but I would be interested in saying, okay, commit to Rico Dowdle and let him run the football and really see what you got right here.
I mean, if we can create second and five and third and three, that's a good game plan. I'm trying that in the first half, and hopefully we don't have to abandon the run in the second.
Yeah. Dawson, real quick, what do you think the loss of Jordan Lewis, how do you think it's going to hurt this defense tonight? He's been your best player on defense. How's the loss of Jordan Lewis going to affect the way you watch the game tonight?
I think what you're going to see is a lot of big plays. You know, there not only are you lacking on the outside for down the field, but also the underneath stuff that Jordan Lewis is so good at corralling those, you know, those running backs, those tight ends in the middle of the field and coverage wise. I just think this is a massive blow for a defense that is fighting it already, Brian. And I think that's going to have to be the final note of the show. I'm getting the rapid sign. Thank you so much.
There you go.
Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. For Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control, and Carter Freeman coordinating your video. And for Broadus and Woolchuck and Chiafalo, who will continue down at the stadium. The pregame show coming up next. Postgame show when it goes final all the way until about 1 o'clock. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation at ease.